This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Bing Y World Class Market, Brennan Smoke Shop, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmower, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
2-2 to Loriano. Ground ball to the shortstop, Lynn with it. And a Red Sox sweep, the Oakland A's, 7-3 final today. The Red Sox in a win column again. Pretty good momentum heading out onto the road. And a series that begins in Chicago tomorrow.
That's called a winning streak. It has happened before.
Oh, is that what that's called? When you win three in a row, that's what that's called. Jimmy Stewart, help me with that again. What's it called?
That's called a winning streak. It has happened before.
Red Sox, winners of three in a row. Now's your chance to gloat, Red Sox fans. 617-779-0985. Three in a row.
That's called a winning streak.
I'm such a sucker for that. I do think that scene was a good one.
Movie holds up.
It was a good one. And so the Red Sox beat the Oakland A's today. It was a matinee at Fenway Park, in case you didn't know.
It has happened before.
So how about that? The team that hasn't been able to win all year has now won two games in 24 hours and three in a row. Three in a row. Which brings me to this story in the Boston Globe by Alex Speer, which actually was written earlier today before the game. And now has even more merit and nonetheless bugged the crap out of me. So 617-779-0985 is your number if you want to talk about the Red Sox. There are a bunch of things that have happened here in the last 24 hours with the team that are worthy of getting to. And I also want to talk to a bigger picture baseball topic with Bryce Harper and what happened in Philadelphia last night, if you missed that. We'll do that a little later on in the show. But first, 617-779-0985. Here is your headline on Alex Speer's story in the Boston Globe today. And look, I joke about it. I love Alex. Okay, I love him. I worked with him for a long time. I think very highly of his work. I don't always agree with all of it, but I'm sure he didn't agree with mine either. Nonetheless, this headline on Alex Speer's story, April put Red Sox in a hole, but they're clearly climbing out. And the whole idea was today's May 1st. April ended last night. And so April's in the books. And so are they turning a corner? Are the Red Sox turning a corner? Here's what Speer wrote in his story. Okay? And he quoted Mitch Moreland. "We know we've got some work ahead of us," said Moreland. "We've just got to kind of keep our heads down and keep moving forward," end quote. Writes Speer. The team has started to do just that. With two straight victories over Oakland, they've clinched their second series victory of the season. Now, again, this was written before the game today. They actually ended up sweeping the A's. But nonetheless, last night's win did. It gave the Red Sox, their second series win of the year. So my point is this. Is that really something to celebrate? Second series win? Two series wins in April. Two in the whole effing month, and your first one at home. One series win at home in the whole month, and you're starting to come out of it, and you're starting to climb again in the standings. I mean, that's what the insinuation is, after all.
How did he word that again? Say it again to me.
The team has started to do just that. That's what he says. That, put their heads down and move forward. The team has started to do just that. Murray, do you believe that?
That they're clearly out of it?
Correct. That now, clearly is in the headline.
That means, obviously, without question.
Correct.
No, that's premature. I can understand why Red Sox fans feel positive over this, the way that they've looked over the last week or so, and specifically with this three-game sweep. But clearly out of it? No, the bigger sample size is how they've played for the whole of the season thus far in this first month. And so, no, if you wanted to write this, and with all due respect for Alex Speer, if you wanted to write this after the next couple of series where they're going to be playing some crap teams like the White Sox and the Orioles, and then maybe they win the series against the Mariners after that, then fine. Then write that. Right now? No, it's too early to say they're clearly out of it.
I mean, see, that's my feeling. I don't think they're out of it yet. I mean, you know, maybe there are some initial signs of life, maybe. But you know what? They won three in a row against Tampa, and you know what happened? They came home. They lost a doubleheader to the Tigers. Then they came back and won the last two games of the series. And then you know what happened? They lost the next two and got swept by Tampa Bay after a rainout. So, like, all of a sudden, Oakland comes in here and they win three in a row. Now I'm supposed to say everything's okay. Clearly, they're coming out of it. The team has started to do just that. That is what I'm supposed to believe. Sorry, I don't. I don't. I need to see it more than just one series or even a series and a half before I can believe it. I have to see it for weeks before I believe it. I don't know how any of you could possibly believe it. But if you do, I would love to hear from you and tell me why. 617-779-0985. Spear goes on to give some details in this story about why he believes things are turning. Okay, for example, he writes, increasingly, players are performing to their track records. The rotation, which produced an 8.79 ERA through 13 games, has stabilized. The starters have a 3.27 ERA in the last 17 games. Now, again, he says that that's true, by the way. Entering today, the starters had an ERA of 3.27 in their last 17, which sounds good, and it is good. The team went 9-8 during those games. They're still playing just .500 baseball. With that kind of starting pitching, you should really be looking at something like 11-6 at a minimum, not 9-8. And you know why they're 9-8? Because they didn't necessarily hit during that span. They scored four runs. Their team OPS was .720. Again, the best offensive team in baseball last year. And so you can believe that they're out of it or that they're coming out of it. I don't believe that yet because every time in the early part of the year they've had a chance to sort of claim some momentum, they've taken two steps back. So if you want to believe it, by all means, you can believe it. I don't. And by the way, the team that they beat the last 3 days, the Oakland A's, have lost six straight. And as I said last night, in the first game of this series on Monday, Oakland gave you that game. You didn't play well that night. Oakland played worse. But the A's gave you six outs in the fourth inning, I think it was. Six. The Red Sox scored six times. They ended up getting the lead. They went up 7-4, and they ultimately won the game 9-4. But none of that happens if the A's could get a force out at second base, maybe turn a double play on it, catch a fly ball, do all of those things that are basic plays. So again, have the Red Sox been better? Sure. Yeah. I mean, they sucked so bad in the early part of the season. How is it that they couldn't be better? 500 feels like a huge windfall for crying out loud with that, with the team, with the way they've been playing. But let's not go crazy yet. Okay, one series doesn't mean they're out of it. It does not mean they've all of a sudden turned a corner. So if you believe that, I would love for you to explain to me why. But what's their record now? Are they 14-17?
Yes.
They're still three games under. And with that roster and with that pitching staff and the money they have committed, there's no way they should be celebrating 14-17 and all of a sudden saying that things are turning around.
Even other little things, too, that people are like crowing about is like, see, they figured it out. Like the bullpen. Okay, the bullpen didn't give up any runs in this series, save for Tyler Thornburg. But I don't know, you're comfortable with all those walks that they allowed a couple of nights back when they started this series. And again, Tyler Thornburg is still in this bullpen, and he's a complete disaster. It's the only reason they ended up plating two runs in the ninth inning, did Oakland today, because he comes in and he sucks. So there's still some issues there. They had to warm up Matt Barnes again. He didn't get into the game, thankfully. But like, there's still some red flags there. They got better production towards the bottom of the lineup, so fine. But I don't know. Like, I'm not going to take too much from this series. I can understand why people feel good about it because you haven't seen much winning like this so far this season. But everybody pumped the brakes. Like, they're out of it. Let's wait a few weeks.
Yeah, it's still not clean, Maureen. I'm glad you brought up Barnes. Two games this week, they had to get Barnes up when they didn't want to get him up. And they had to bring him into a 9-4 game to close it out because they were putting
that's
it on.
That's stupid.
Okay, really. So it's not clean yet. I think they just ran into a team that's going really bad right now. And again, Porcello was good last night. He wasn't that good.
And Rodriguez couldn't even make it through the fifth the night before. So,
I mean, you know, Oakland to me isn't hitting at all right now. And so you caught him at a good time. That's okay. You know, you need breaks too. But I'm still not sure they're playing all that well, and I think that that is one of the deceiving parts of this. In any case, we'll kick it off tonight with Roger, who's in a car. What do you got, Roger?
Yeah, Matt. I mean, I'm not really going to be defending the Red Sox right here, but at this point last year, they were obviously, like, the scary team in the league at the month point. But if you look at the teams now, like right now, obviously there's a few hitters that, you know, can be kind of scary, but there's no standout team right now that's just pulling away. And if they, by all means, they should go out and sweep the Blue Sox. I mean, and if they do, I'll have some faith in them, but there's no standout team right now, in my opinion.
You don't think you don't think Tampa's a standout team, Roger? They're 19-10.
I don't.
You don't think Houston's a standout team? Houston's 18-12.
Yeah. But those are only four games over 500, man. I mean, that's they're not pulling away with like five losses, you know?
Okay, so listen, I think Houston's a wagon. And unlike you, Houston actually did dig themselves out of a hole. The Astros played badly at the start of the year for about a week. And then you know what happened? They said, no, that's it, enough's enough. And Houston turned it around and started playing well, and basically they've won two out of every three games since. So I am comfortable saying that the Astros are clearly out of it. And out of it meaning out of the slump. That they've pulled themselves out of it. The Astros clearly have done that. Have the Red Sox really clearly done that? Because I don't think they have. And you know what? Deep down, I'm not sure Alex Cora believes they have either. He's saying some of the right things. But the reality is that what the Red Sox are doing in these games suggests to you that they know right now that they have to grind for every win, every 90 feet, every run. They have to grind for it. And there was something that happened in that game today that actually proves it. We'll get to that and Alex Cora's remarks about how the team is playing overall. We'll do that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporter. Tony Mazzara, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I honestly think that, you know, we play well against Tampa. Just, you know, we face a good pitching staff. We hit them in the bullpen, but we didn't win those two games. We had a bad day against Detroit. But overall, we play good baseball. You know, obviously, we wanted better results, but it is what it is. But we've been playing better.
Alex Cora after today's win. Again, that's a relative term, right? We've been playing better. Well, compared to what? Compared to what? Compared to the way they were playing early in the year? Sure. They're playing better. They're still not playing great. They're still not playing well. They're playing very average baseball at the moment, which, again, compared to the early part of the year, is good. But overall, still way below what this team should have been. And they swept the Oakland A's. They won. What's the final score today, Murray? 7-3? Is that what it was? 7-3 today was the final. 5-1 last night. And the game on Monday, they won 9-4. So, you know, the A's are going bad right now. Oakland's lost six in a row for the first time in 2 years. They have the third worst record in the American League. The A's are playing some bad baseball. Okay, the A's are playing badly. And the Red Sox took advantage, which is okay. That's part of the deal. You beat up on the bad teams. That's what good teams are supposed to do. And the Red Sox are in no shape at the moment to be questioning the quality of their wins. They just need wins, period. They need to rack up as many as possible. But when I hear Cora say they're playing better, I mean, I think even he knows they're not playing right still. So, and again, there was something that happened in today's game that to me was revealing about where they are and how confident they are in their ability to score in particular. But we'll get to that in just a minute. First, before I get back to your calls, well, I'll tell you what, let me tease it and just say that ESPN had an interesting story today that Jim Murray turned me on to. I want to read you a part of that in just 1 second. First, Pete is in Arlington. Go ahead, Pete. What do you got?
Hey, Mez, I guess just in direct response to what you were just saying.
Pete, are you got what, me, do you have us on speaker or something?
No, I have you right up to my ear. Sorry.
Okay, I'm going to wait and see if you can get to a better area because it's just it's really difficult to hear you. Dave's in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, Maz. What's up, Murray? Quick point on the Red Sox. So I largely agree with what you've been saying for the season to this point. I think that, in my opinion, their ceiling might be something like a wild card slipping into the playoffs. Maybe they're closer to an 88-win team than a 108 team, and wanted to hear your thoughts on that.
Okay, so Dave, I had said this at the start of the year that I think that people were delusional if they thought the Red Sox were going to coast this year again. I mean, some of the stuff I read during the offseason I found absolutely comical. And, you know, just the inflated sense of how good they were really just got out of control. So I don't remember who it was from Mass Live, and I'm not dumping on the writer. Okay, but I just think it reflected an overall sense of how distorted the view of the Red Sox had become. Someone wrote off over the offseason, it was more than one person, the Red Sox won't win 108 games again, but they should get 100. And I thought, what? They should get 100. How many times in their history have they done that? What happened last year was an unbelievably unique set of circumstances. Everything went right, or pretty damn near everything went right. Now, they had some issues during the year. Chris Sale got hurt. But in terms of the role they got on, oh, man, they couldn't. They were winning games in all kinds of ways that team typically doesn't win games. So they got on a ridiculous roll. They took it to the max. They got in the postseason, and they steamrolled everybody. And they had what was probably the greatest season in Red Sox history. When you examine the performance overall. Now, I still think the 2014 gets a special place because of the burden they had to carry before winning that championship. But if you want to talk about number of wins, there has never been a team to do what the 2018 Red Sox did. 108 wins rather in the regular season, 119 count in the playoffs, and in the postseason, they faced the three next best teams in baseball. The Astros, the Yankees, not in that order, and then the Dodgers. And none of those teams beat them more than once. 3-1, 4-1, 4-1, and it was over. They went 11-3 in the playoffs. They dominated. But that all of a sudden means they're going to come back and win 108 the next year again. I told you, if they did that, if they are to do that still, which seems highly unlikely now, but if they were to somehow get on some ridiculous run, win 100 games again and win the World Series, we'll be comparing them to some of the great teams of the modern era. We will. I don't think they're going to get there. But the idea that all of a sudden they were just going to come out and back their way into the playoffs was naive. And really more the division title than the playoffs. The Yankees are motivated. The Yankees have been injured, and the Yankees are playing better baseball than the Red Sox are. Because ultimately, it's about winning. Before I get back to your calls, Murray pointed this out to me or turned me onto it this morning. David Schoenfeld of ESPN.com listed the top 30, graded the teams in baseball, all 30 of them, gave them all grades on the first month of the season. Where do you think the Red Sox ranked, if you had to guess, Jimmy Stewart? Murray knows because he saw the story.
My hope is about 29 or 30th.
How about 30th dead last? It's
excellent.
Actually 31 teams in baseball, right? 16 and 15? No, whatever. No, 30.
All I know is when
30, 15 in each league. That whole odd number in each league then confuses me.
All I know is when I clicked on the story, I was like, well, I wonder how far I'm going to have to scroll down. I had to scroll all the way to get to the Red Sox.
Good, they deserve it.
Okay, so there are two teams in baseball that got an F for their first month of the season. Two teams. The Miami Marlins and the Baltimore Orioles. The Red Sox were ranked behind them. The Red Sox got an F minus.
Good.
F minus. And Schoenfeld writes, best storyline. He did a sort of a little capsule form for each team, and the two bullet points were best storyline and mulligan. Best storyline, none. Really. Look, relative to expectations, he writes, the Red Sox have obviously been the biggest disappointment. It's not just that they're off to a slow start. It's that they've played poorly in all phases of the game. On the bright side, they're almost certain to win at least one Chris Sale start before the season ends. Oh, there's a ray of optimism.
Not so sure about that.
And then he says, Mulligan, take take it easy on the starters. And I'm sorry, let me rephrase. Mulligan, taking it easy on the starters in spring training was the cautious approach and maybe the correct one. But easing into the regular season might be a reason the rotation has fared so poorly. Might be. Might be. It is. Again, F minus. ESPN gave the Red Sox, and incredibly, they deserve it, and that might even be high. Peter's in Arlington. Peter, what do you got?
Hey, thanks for taking me back. So I guess to your first point, last year was a historically good team, and you guys doubted them until, what, mid-August? So I don't know if you guys would be able to ever tell. And your other point, Cora said that we played better. Well, what is he supposed to say? We sucked? Better is relative.
And so Peter, what about if he said, well, look, you know, I think we're better than we were in the early part of the year, but we still got a lot of work to do. What would be wrong with that?
That's basically what he said.
Yeah, no, it isn't. What he's saying is we're not playing as badly as recently as you think we are. Recently, we're not playing as badly as you think we are. To me, that's what the message is. Whereas last year, I think his messages were sharper and more acute. I think when they were winning games and a guy made a base running mistake, he would say, yeah, I talked to him about it. You know, with where we want to go, that's really not going to cut it. That's what he would say. Now it's, well, you know, I've said we've been playing better. That's what I said. So I don't know if it's just because he knows his team is fragile at the moment. And so he's being careful with them in terms of what he says and how he says it. But last year, it felt like to me he did a better job of sort of holding them accountable, at least publicly. Again, you never know what's going on privately behind the scenes. So maybe he's doing something different behind closed doors. But yeah, well, you know, we're playing better. I thought we played well in the Tampa series. Really? Well, how many runs did they score in the Tampa series? So I think hitting is part of the game. And they did not hit well in the Tampa series. They played an Oakland team here the last few days. They beat the crap out of them. The A's have been bad. And again, there was something that happened in that game today that tells me they're still grinding and they're still not confident in their ability to win. Okay, and that maybe that will come, and it probably will because they get a lot of talent. But they're not confident in their ability to win. And I'll explain why after Murray gets you caught up on him.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Mazzarotti. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Three wins in a row for the Red Sox. There are times where I look at them and I feel like they're getting a little more confident. I told you this last week. There was a point where Alex Cora gave Rafael Devers a green light on a 3-0 pitch. And Devers ended up fouling it off. And then later in the at-bat, hit a double. And it was, okay, you know, the signs of life. And then Tampa Bay came in here over the weekend and they lost both. And so I feel like they take a step up, they take two steps back. Now they've beaten Oakland three straight. So, great. You can get fired up if you want. I'm not there yet. And there was something that happened in that game today that led me to believe, you know, they're not totally confident yet. They're not quite there. I'll tell you what that was in just a second. But first, Adam is in Needham on the Red Sox bullpen. Good, Adam.
Thanks, Tony. Hope all is well. I thought really maybe a trade could really shake things up. And I really think the bullpen is a place where we could really find something else. And I was wondering if you see anyone in the league that could be for trade bait, maybe not in the bullpen, but somewhere. Might be too early, but possibly just to help the locker room, possibly. Thanks.
So, Adam, I still think it's early. And honestly, I haven't even delved into that yet because I don't know that you even waste making a trade on this team if they don't turn it around in the next few weeks. I don't think you even waste the assets. So there's no point in doing that. Again, remember, they don't have a lot of minor league talent to trade. And so why would you waste it? Why would you waste whatever talent you have on this team unless they turn it around and start playing better? So now, look, rule of thumb, look at teams that are out of it and are going to be out of it, teams that are tanking, and might have a veteran guy in the bullpen who could help a contending team. That's in the final year of a contract. I mean, that's really the easy way to do it. Steve is in Lynn. Go ahead, Steve. Steve,
yes. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, it's okay. What do you got?
Last year you spent your whole, the first 3 months talking about they were not as good as their record, they're not as good as their record. And I would argue that they're not as bad as their record. And you're picking nits with what you're saying about Cora's comments after the game. They're better. You want him to be dismissive of their efforts to try and improve, or do you want him? I don't quite understand where you're headed with that criticism.
I'm not headed anywhere with it. I'm just telling you that I don't think that they've really played all that well yet. And so, look, you're right to criticize me for the way I approached them last year. To me, it was all about how they were going to play in October. They played that way. And when you say they're not as bad as their record this year, you mean that they have better talent than what they've played?
I believe that they will end up being well above 500 by the end of the year.
Okay, I do too. I do too. I believe that too. So, but how would you say they have played here in the first month?
Oh, I think that F minus probably was an accurate representation of their effort.
Okay, so then there you go. We agree. I mean, like, where's the gray area? So, and look, I understand. Can we talk about this on the Felger and Maz show in the afternoon? I understand that you want to take a long view of it. I don't have that luxury. I got to do a talk show every day. That's my job, to talk about the team and where they are. Theo Epstein, when he was the president and general manager of the team, said, we try to stay away from snapshot evaluations. And I said, my job is snapshot evaluations. That's my job. So the question isn't whether or not we think they're going to come out of it. None of us believe that they're this bad, which is what makes this month so shocking and annoying. They're better than this. They weren't prepared to play. Clearly, they're better than this.
And who's that start with?
The manager.
Right. And his overconfidence that has, actually gone over into cockiness, I think, is one of the things that actually hurt this team. So I understand, you hearing that post-game press conference today and saying, like, okay, so what's the baseline? The baseline's going to be pretty low for them to be, we're playing better right now.
I mean, so the idea that, they're going to be a winning team. Of course they're going to be a winning team. I don't see this team going 75 and 87.
But a little more criticism from the guy that's the leader in the clubhouse, Cora, I don't think could hurt this team right now.
So, see, the thing is people say, last year's team. Forget last year. Last year was the aberration.
Their problem is that they haven't been able to forget last year.
Okay, so that's exactly right, Murray. The 108 wins was a bit of a fantasy. And that, which doesn't mean this team sucks, by the way, because the two prior years they had won the division. So again, I tell you what, throw last year out. They should still be a 93-94 win team. That's what they should be. At a minimum, they should be that. And by the way, they are never going to be that until Chris Sale starts winning games. Or until they start winning games that Chris Sale pitches. 0-6? Again, do the math. They're 14-17. If Chris Sale is 3-3 instead of 0-6, or if they are 3-3 instead of 0-6 in his games, they're 17-14. Everything's completely different. To me, the underperformance of the ace is the number one story on the team. As for the thing that happened in today's game that I found interesting, the Red Sox, I think in this game, went up 2-0. And remember that we're on the air during the game, so I can't follow every pitch like I would like to. I just can't do it. So the A's then closed to 2-1, and Zhu Weilin got on second base at that stage of the game with nobody out. Fifth inning when Andrew Benintendi came up with Zhu Weilin on second base and nobody out. Do you know what Benintendi did? He bunted. He bunted in the fifth inning of a game. Now, look, there are times with a man on second that the manager will give a sign that says, get him over. Okay, get the runner over. You do it however you want. If you think you can hit a ground ball to the right side, then you do that. You think you can hit a fly ball to get him over, you do that. You think you can hit one into the gap and score him? God bless you, whatever it is, whatever you feel comfortable with, you do. But you get his ass over at a bare minimum. You get him to third base. Cora gave that indication today to Benintendi. And he said after the game, That was a big run. We needed to move the runner over. We needed to get up by multiple runs again. Now, Benintendi, I think, was bunting for a hit. My guess is that he did it on his own. But the mere fact that they're doing that sort of thing, how many times did you see him do that last year? They never did that. Never. Because they were roping the ball over the ballpark, playing with a high level of confidence, and they knew they were going to win because they believed in the way they were playing. They had confidence. They had momentum. Now, the manager gives the get him over sign, and you know what he does? He bunts. He tries to drag a bunt, not well, hit it back to the pitcher, and he was thrown out at first. But nonetheless, he bunts. He doesn't swing the bat. And so that, to me, should tell you plenty about where the Red Sox are. Okay, there's a Murray mentioned this earlier in the show. There's a guy in that Red Sox bullpen. Boy, you should really be asking yourself, what the hell is this guy doing on the team still? We'll get to him. And if we have time, the Bryce Harper story in Philadelphia last night took an interesting turn. We'll get to that, too.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Mazz, 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Once again, the Oakland A's, they don't hit a home run. They don't win. Not to jinx anything right now, but it's 5-0 late. I can get away with it.
3-2.
High fly ball, right center field. Long, deep drive. That one's sailing back. It is gone, and you did it, Eck.
No.
Grossman with his third home run of the season, and they are on the board.
I will never do that again. Ever. It's his third home run on the season. He hit a pinch-hit home run up in Toronto, and then he does this more to me than anybody else. And Thornburg, sorry.
It's Eck last night on the home run that Tyler Thornburg gave up in the ninth inning. He had some fun with it. Red Sox won the game anyway, 5-1, but it sort of blew the shutout. Blew a good night for Rick Porcello, who got, you know, got the win and went 8 scoreless anyway, but the Red Sox are on their way to a shutout. And Thornburg went in today's game and gave up 2 more runs. Okay, Thornburg's been a disaster. What a disaster that guy's been.
He is ass.
Wow.
And Dave Dombrowski will continue to defend that move until the day he dies, which is just like, admit you take the L on it, Dave. You got this one wrong. He stinks.
So, Murray, you said that earlier, and again, boy, Thornburg has been bad. We'll get back to him in 1 second. Just quickly, this is typically the time of day where we do the Big Y matchup of the game presented by Big Y World Class Market, serving the Massachusetts community for over 80 years. Day game today, so obviously we don't have a matchup for you in the next game. We'll have one for you tomorrow night when the Red Sox are in Chicago. David Price on the mound against the White Sox. But Thornburg, as Murray pointed out, Thornburg was acquired in a trade with the Brewers that sent Travis Shaw to Milwaukee. He sucked last year. He got hurt the first year. He came back last year and sucked. And now this year, they went out of their way to put him on the team because they thought that I'm sure Dombrowski wants to get something out of that deal. And he's terrible. And that home run he gave up last night, the fastball that he threw to Robbie Grossman was as straight a fastball as I have ever seen in the major leagues. I mean, go back and look at it. It is dead straight. It doesn't sink. It doesn't elevate. It doesn't go to the right or the left. It is absolutely straight as a string right down the middle. And this guy, and it'd be one thing if he did that and he was throwing 100. This thing's at like 92. It got absolutely freaking pulverized. He's got nothing. Thornburg's got nothing.
Yeah, looking at some of the numbers, because people, you know, and rightfully want to maybe crow about the bullpen right now with this little winning streak the Red Sox have going. Since April 25th, Tyler Thornburg has allowed 3 runs. Everybody else in the bullpen, none. It's Thornburg is the massive red flag. He stinks. You can't put him out there.
I mean, that's the last week, really. And I'll tell you this, Marcus Walden, boy, what a story he is. You know, he got another win today. He's 4-0. I think he's got more wins than anybody on the team.
Certainly more than Chris Sale.
Marcus Walden. Holy smokes. Like, tell me that's not a sign of the times. Maybe we'll see more of him. I'm sure we will.
Yeah, on Walden Pond.
I knew that was coming, Murray. So I'm going to squeeze in a couple of calls. I'd love to get Bryce Harper in before the end of the show, but let's see. Alex in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Alex.
Hey, Tony. Thanks for taking my call. A couple of thoughts. One, Thornburg is terrible. And two, I saw a positive today in the bottom of the sixth, I think it was. Two outs, and they rallied for, I think it was three runs. I think that was a good sign for what, I mean, a precursor maybe what it was last year. So I just wanted to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, so again, look, Alex, I'll take any positive sign you can give me. I'm just telling you, don't make too much of this series with the A's. Okay, the A's are terrible, they're playing terribly. They were a good team last year, but they've lost six in a row. They have the third worst record in the league. They stink right now. Nonetheless, the Red Sox aren't exactly the 27 Yankees, so at least not yet. So take any win you can get. And I do agree that there have been some good things I've seen from them of late in terms of manufacturing runs, moving runners. There have been little things like that that have popped up, but there were still way too many mistakes in their game. Murray pointed a good one out earlier. The bullpen, walking guys in the late innings with big leads, forcing Matt Barnes to get up in the bullpen. The defense has still been bad. I mean, there were a lot of things that still aren't right with that team. Pete is in Millville.
Hey, Maz. Hey, two comments on Alex Cora. One good, one bad. Here's the first thing. I think the worst thing that probably could have happened to Alex Cora was in his first major league season as a manager, winning 108 games, and especially in a Boston town that often criticizes managers who don't perform well. So now he's not used to the criticism that he's currently getting, and he's not reacting too well. Secondly, I think some of the good things is, and I don't think Alex Cora announces this to the press, but I think he recognizes the team isn't playing good, and he's trying to react and grind out wins. Thus the bunt today with Benintendi. I think that type of stuff that Alex recognizes that the team's not playing well, trying to grind out wins until they start clicking.
So Pete, I think it's a good observation, and I think you're right. I think that he had a luxury cruise for his first year as Red Sox manager. It was way too easy, and he thought he had all the answers. He won two World Series in a row, one with Houston, one with Boston. So it's a good point. I mean, I think he started to feel like he had all the answers. Before we get to Adam Jones, I just want to squeeze this in because it's a big story. He's one of the few rock stars in baseball, Bryce Harper in Philadelphia. You knew it was only a matter of time before Harper started taking some heat. I think he's hitting 182 in Philadelphia in home games this year. Last night he came up in the eighth inning, 3-1 game, struck out, and it sounded like this.
Philly's offense has been dormant tonight, but they're only down two. And Harper strikes out for the second time tonight. Two outs.
So now, I don't know how well you can hear that in the background, but believe me when I tell you, they were hooting on him. They were hooting on Harper. What do you got, Murray?
No, I was just, it's a lot of booze. Yeah.
Oh, they're
but still,
on him.
If you look at his numbers, these animals. You can't have anything nice in this world. Most other teams would still take this guy. He's still on pace for over 30 home runs and driving in over 90 runs. He'll be fine.
So I'll tell you what I liked about this story last night is the way Harper handled it. Did you hear his comment after the game?
No, I didn't.
Okay, Jimmy, this is what Harper was asked about it after the game. Here's what he said.
I do the same thing. I mean, it's not fun to lose, not fun to watch. You know, when you're playing that way, and you know, 4-2 punches. I'm probably thinking the same thing walking back to the dugout.
I give him credit for that. I do the same thing. 0-4, two punch outs. I'm thinking the same thing going back there. He's hitting .182 in home games. It's a bad place to suck, Philadelphia. It's a bad place to suck. He's done really well on the road. He's hitting over .300 on the road. But in home games, and I think he dropped a fly ball last night too. Like he looks like a donkey out there in Philadelphia. And it's
he'll get out of it too. He dealt with a lot of nonsense with that Nationals team.
I mean, that is a place though that can devour you. If you go bad in Philly, even the best of the best, you can really start to spiral there. So it's just worth keeping an eye on. You know, big name free agent. He's sucking and now he's getting booed, which I think is awesome.
Are they booing me, Smithers?
Yeah. What do you got, Pac-Man?
Well, I thought it was a fun night in Boston sports last night. A lot to get to on both games. Arcan and myself spent a little bit of time after the game, but plenty to pick our way through with the Celtics and the Bruins here tonight. People think the Red Sox are back?
Some people do. Did you read Alex Speer on the Globe today?
No. Please.
Yeah. Clicks, you have time for that?
Clicks? No. I get one click a month. That's not how I'm using my one click. I get one click a month for that.
Oh, in the Globe. Oh, yeah. I see.
We hope you've enjoyed your free articles.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I get, you don't subscribe, huh?
No.
And it's people like you that have put newspapers out of business, Jones.
Yes. Yeah. More newspaper out of business. That means more radio in business.
Oh, Jones, I'm 100% with you.
Yeah.
Like, the Athletic, like, get out of here. I'm not paying you.
The Athletic.
Someone copy and paste it to me.
Bedard. 617-779-0985. We'll take all your phone calls there tonight. Bruins and Celtics breaking down. Well, who choked worse last night?
Okay, Jones and Arcan next. Murray's Get Your Headlines. Everyone, we'll see you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.